candid shot. We speaking on things you not. Just press play and let it rock. Welcome to the candid shot. Whoa. Welcome to the candid shot. We speaking on things you not. Just press play and let it rock. Welcome to the candid shot. Whoa. Feel like we going through mad things. Gotta keep it real when they choose not. We gon' talk about it when the news drop. Welcome to the show where you know we don't fake this. Keep your opinion to yourself if it don't make sense.
Hey, 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 Podcast Nation. It is your girl, Candidly Kristen, and this is The Candid Shop, your number one destination for candid conversations. On this Everyday Heroes segment, which is one of my favorite things to do, I get to shine a light on Mrs. Katina Holliday. Katina is the founder and CEO of Holliday's Helping Hands, an organization that provides interim housing and wraparound services to people experiencing homelessness in the LA County, California area. So welcome, 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 Katina, to the Candid Shop.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So as someone who has been homeless at one point in my life, I have always believed that more people than they realize are one accident, layoff, unexpected disaster, etc., away from homelessness. So I am really, really honored to shine a spotlight on you and your program.
Absolutely, yes. My dad experienced homelessness in the cold state of Minnesota. So I'm definitely, it's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. And so being a nurse, of course, I've dealt with a lot of homelessness working in the ER. So just by pure nature to help people in any way, shape or form that I can, this has truly worked for me.
Nice, nice. So I just want to throw out a little bit of stats. I know people are aware that there's a homelessness issue, or the new term I think is unhoused. And it's been an issue in the U.S. for a long time. But the latest stats show that roughly 582,462 people are experiencing homelessness across the U.S. This amounts to roughly 18 out of every 10,000 people. And on top of that, 22% are chronically homeless individuals or people with disabilities who've experienced long-term or repeated incidents of homelessness. 6% are veterans and 5% are unaccompanied youth under 25. So, if you could share a little bit of your personal backstory with me and my listeners.
Yeah. So for me, when I was in nurse practitioner school, I'm a Mississippi girl. So I came from a small town where I didn't see too much homelessness. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to LA after I graduated from nursing school, the area called Skid Row downtown. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just remember it being dark and gloom. So to make a long story short, when I went to nurse practitioner school here, I got to work in the homeless community and I just loved it. And as I said, being an ER nurse, I was able to speak with the homeless and, you know, it's a different community, right? Mm-hmm. People look at them and look down upon them. But here at Holliday's Helping Hands, we believe in giving a hands up and not a hand out. Mm-hmm. So with me working in that field and wanting to provide for them and show them love and give them love, because I also believe if you give people love, love is the biggest motivator and it can definitely change people. So that's what we embrace ourselves on at Holliday's Helping Hands, is giving love. We're family, right? So working among that population, and because I have just that heart to help people, like in general, no matter what it is, what resources I could provide, I will provide them to you. It was just a field that I ended up going into and I truly love it. I worked at the community clinic and they would always call me their doctor, even though I'm a nurse practitioner. They'd be like, my doctor, right? And so I meant one of the doctors I worked with was like, my patients came in for years looking for me after I left the clinic, you know, for my training, because They loved me because I was, you know, the hospitality. And it's just the way I grew up. My grandma helped everybody in the hometown where I came from. Literally, you know, she'd pull her money out the bosom. And help whoever she has. And help whoever she has to help. I don't know if you know about that bosom money.
Yes, I know about that bosom money. Mm-hmm. But listen, that's a great segue because I really want you to share who Miss Desi and Shine were and how they impacted your life and your purpose and passion.
Listen, my grandmother, that is funny. She is like none other. When I tell you, one of the stories that really impacted me, I must have been in the sixth grade. Okay. And this lady said she had been looking for my grandma for years. I think she even wrote into the Oprah show, she said, because she had relocated to Illinois somewhere.
Okay.
And her husband, she was older. And so she finally came back to town because my grandma used to cook at the hospital. Now, okay. We all know people don't just go to the hospital to eat.
Right.
People would literally go to the hospital. That's where they would go and have a breakfast and lunch at if my grandma was cooking because she made homemade biscuits. Like, you could go to the hospital and eat. It wasn't all this food that we have today.
Right.
So with that being said, I just remember her coming, and when she saw, my grandma was like, we got to go and meet the lady. And so when my grandma went to see her, she just hugged her and cried. I'm like, why is this lady, what did my grandma do that was so impactful, right? And she was like, you saved my life. I thank you so much. Now, mind you, I'm from Mississippi, white and black, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, growing up, people can't believe that even when I was growing up, they picked 6 black cheerleaders for school. They picked 6 white cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
We had a white queen. We had a black queen. So, you know, it was different. It's Mississippi that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We rank lowest in everything and everything bad, we rank highest in.
Right.
And everything good, we rank lowest in. So with that being said, I just remember, and I don't remember what my grandma did for her, but I was like, I just remember her hugging my grandma, telling, and her husband was like, she talked about you for years. I couldn't wait to meet you. Uh-huh. And so that's just one of the stories. But Shine was a gentleman that walked our streets all the time. And I remember as a little girl myself, it was a dime for him to get a cigarette. And Shine had a family. So it was a dime for him to get a cigarette. And so even if I had a dime, I would give it to him when I had a dime so that he would get a cigarette just so he wouldn't have to beg anybody. But my grandma literally fed him breakfast and lunch every single day growing up. And she took care of him. Just somebody that she took care of. He was hungry. She fed him no matter what.
Right.
So that's what I got to witness. My grandma taking care of Shine every single day. She would feed him the same thing she fed us. He ate at the table where we ate at. And a lot of times he ate before anybody else because soon as she see him walking up the street, she'd be like, come on in here and get you something to eat. And she would feed him and take care of him. And like I said, he wasn't the only person she took care of. She didn't save people houses, their cars. Like, I was with my grandma all the time. So I seen, like, and she never told anybody what she did for people. So people don't even know. But when she passed away, you heard all these stories about how she impacted their life and how she was a help to them. Even if it was just a word, food, love, whatever it was, she was very resourceful.
Well, I see you get your service mentality honest and your heart for helping. So talk to me about the why of Holiday Helping Hands. Why you thought that this was what was needed in the LA County area and how that all came to be.
So interesting story is I ended up when I graduated from nurse practitioner school, I was looking for a job and I ran up on this job to work for recuperative care. Now, mind you, I didn't even have the qualifications to get the job. But how many of you know that when you serve the God like I serve, you don't have to have the qualifications to get to what you need to do.
Right.
So I didn't even meet the qualifications. I'm a new nurse practitioner. They was looking for somebody with 3 years experience, 2 years experience. I'm sorry. And so I applied for the job. They called me in and interviewed me. And the person that interviewed me, she was like, we're going to do business together. And so I was like, oh, wow. You know, so today, me and that lady, we do business together. I have a separate business that I do with her, and that's Serenity Recuperative Care. So that was the first one that I did. And Recuperative Care was set up to help homeless people coming out of the hospitals. We was the third in the county of LA to open up, me and her. Now, our vision was that we was going to open up clinics because she was a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a nurse practitioner. But God saw it differently. So we end up opening up the Recuperative Care. So Holidays Helping Hands came about. I asked my business partner, did she want to do families? She had been in the homeless sector doing the different type of housing. I can't even think of the name of it. It's more like transitional, where people pay for a room and board, you know?
Oh, okay.
So she had been in that for years. And she was like, you know, I don't want to do families. You know, the kids just tear up your house. So out of that, I birthed Holidays Helping Hands because I wanted to help families and single moms and things like that. So out of that, when I let the county of LA know that we want to do families, they was like, okay. We became the first family site within the Housing for Health model to open up here in LA.
Now and tell me what that is, the Housing for Health?
Yes, ma'am. So Housing for Health is the Department of Health Services. It's a section here of the Department of Health Services in LA County. And it's the county, and they started operating homeless facilities because a lot of homelessness go to the county for services.
So that's the model that Holiday Helping Hands kind of adopted when you opened it?
Well, of course we did our own model, but they are the ones that sent us over the client. So my first house was for single mom.
Okay.
And so, but my second set of houses that we opened up, I had a single father's home, which was just great because nobody else does that. They don't think about fathers being single and homeless.
Nope.
So at Holidays Helping Hands, one of the biggest things we do is we don't care if you consider them family, that's your family. We have mothers and daughters staying together. Most facilities don't allow that. We have same-sex parents staying together. And we had a developmental delayed child that was like 40 years old with the same-sex parents.
Okay.
And so we whatever you constitute your family is, at Holidays Helping Hands, we accept that.
Got it.
You know, whereas most places, homeless shelters, if the kid is over 18, they won't allow them to be considered a family. They have to be, they separate the mom and the dad. We don't do that at Holidays Helping Hands. And then my other site that I end up opening up was a single family, single mom home for women that have been incarcerated.
Okay.
So that was that has been one of our greatest things that we do. They come in from jail if they're pregnant in jail. They get another chance at life just because they were pregnant and went to jail. So they get to come out. They get to come into the Holidays Helping Hands program. And then we go from there.
Okay. So what are the different services and programs that you provide to your clients?
So, you know, I consider it. This is how I explain it to a lot of people. It's like living on a boat when you come to Holidays Helping Hands.
Okay.
And you know, the boat has all the amenities, right?
Mm-hmm.
They provide you food. They have somebody to clean up for you. They even have medical services on the boat, right? So that's how I explain it to people when they come to Holidays Helping Hands. But we have this holistic approach. We offer counseling services. We have social workers that work and do mental health services because we know that's important. Even if they didn't have a mental health issue, depression is going to set in if you're homeless, right?
Yes.
Because you don't have a roof over your head. So we have nursing staff. We have from nurse practitioners to nurses to LPNs and where we monitor their meds. Because one of the things with the homeless population that we see is a big non-compliance. So this helps with patient teaching. We're always teaching them what's important, things of that nature. We have chefs that provide specialized meals. So let's say if you're a diabetic, you're going to get a diabetic meal. Your high blood pressure, you're going to get a low sodium meal. So if you remember, I said housing for health.
Yes.
So most of our clients come to us, they're going to have health issues. They're going to be chronic health issues along with some psychiatric issues, along with possibly some drug issues. So we also offer at our sites where we have a program manager that runs the site. We have an admin assistant that does the paperwork. We have a driver that takes them to and from their appointments. We have security guards on site that monitor and report. And we also have what you call CNAs, which is certified nursing assistants, or RAs is resident assistants. The RAs is people that we train that are not certified nursing assistants. So we created our own training program to train people to work with us to help care for them. And so we offer this wraparound services. I have a life coach, and we also have chaplains that come in if they want prayer. Things of that nature, want to be prayed for. We offer all those services within HHH.
That's awesome.
And we're 24/7.
24/7. So how many interim housing properties do you have right now?
A total of 16 between both companies.
Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. I can't even tell you how needed that is. So if you could talk to me a little bit about the people you serve, who they are, who they were before homelessness made them, to most people's minds, to society's minds, non-existent. Who are they?
Absolutely. You know, they think that everybody is a person that has, you know, a drug user, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you one of my most vivid stories that came to mind when you asked that question is I had a UCLA. I think UCLA is one of those colleges that are known around the world. He was a history professor that became homeless because he just got tired of life. He lost his family and just went to Skid Row. And I guess one day he decided he went in because he had a wound on his foot at the county, and he ends up going into our program. So it's stories like that where he wasn't a drug user.
Right.
He just gave up on life,
right?
You know, and he walked down on Skid Row. He just lost it. He had a mental break. And so he wasn't a drug user. I keep saying drug user because everybody thinks that people that are homeless are drug users.
Or they're lazy and don't want to work.
And that's not always the case. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. They're so, like I said, most people, whether they want to accept it and embrace it or not, are one paycheck away from homelessness. If you lost a paycheck or couldn't pay your rent for 1 month, it would be hard to dig out of that hole for the average person unless you're independently wealthy. So homelessness happens for so many reasons.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, I used to be one paycheck away for many, many years working as a nurse, especially here in California with these high rent prices.
Yeah.
I was always a paycheck away. You work your paycheck to pay your bills, literally.
Yep. I agree. So, Katina, if you had the power over policy for homelessness, what would your broad vision for combating homelessness look like?
You know, and I do have the model that I came up with, believe it or not, the first house we did was actually a house. Because when most people think of shelters, they think of these big open rooms, right?
Like a warehouse.
That's not what we did. We brought them into a home because we feel like if we brought them into a home, it's more intimate. They could get reacclimated to being in a home. They'll want to go to a home. So we have this three. Now, I call myself, there are state of art facilities. We have a three story. My first facility was a three story house with balconies all off the house in Lakeview Terrace. And I don't know if you ever watched that movie.
I was going to say, that's a real place. Okay.
That's how it really is, though.
Mm.
So anyway, then, you know, we have those NIMBYs not in my backyard.
Right.
So let me tell you. To this day, they love us. They do events with us. They work with us because we have what we teach our clients is to be good neighbors. We have a good neighbor policy.
Yeah.
So in our good neighbor policy is no lottering. It's keeping your property clean. Mm-hmm. It's keeping your rooms clean. You know how people have stuff in the windows and things like that? We don't allow that. You're not going to have no broken blinds in our facility.
Right.
It's going to look just like any other house in the neighborhood.
Right.
And so with that being said, that neighborhood, they literally fought us tooth and nail, met with us, and was a neighborhood full of pastors. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. They was like, these people. When they said these people, something inside of me just got infuriated. I was like, these people. Didn't you just tell me, sir, you a pastor? They our people. Like, literally. Yeah. So with that being said, the motto that I've come up with, it's homes that you could put them in. It could be called shared living, which, you know, and it works, you know. It's not much, all these empty houses around here that we can fix up, put people in, even if they got a private room. They in the rooms. You could bring them in very quickly. I actually set up facilities in 2 weeks when the county was really big and bringing in a lot of instrumental and bringing in a lot of facilities. Because initially when we started, I was opening up about three facilities a year when they first started. So we got big really fast. Then COVID happened and we end up operating some COVID sites. But yeah, so my motto would be is to place people in shared living space in homes and it will work.
Yeah, it's working already. So this is my question. When you undertake this kind of endeavor, how do you finance it? Where does the money come from?
So the good part about this, when we first started, my God is amazing, right? Because whatever is meant for you is for you. So when we first started, when we got our first house, we did not have to pay a down payment or anything to move into this house in this neighborhood. Literally, they allowed us to just move in. So we were able to set up this house, and to get started, we financed our own stuff. But the county started giving you money up front because they were trying to open up quickly. So then they would start giving you money once you found a facility, because we have facilities as well, like that looks like nursing homes, things like that. I didn't believe in operating congregate settings.
Okay.
And so that's what they're called, the congregate settings, where you just see a room and nothing but bed.
Right.
And so when our facilities, they're all rooms. So they would give us, they would help give you the money after you start the facility. They would help finance it as well.
Okay. And these, the houses that you are using, were they fixer uppers? Were they move-in ready? Did they require work?
So the houses that most of the time, the houses that I would move in were brand new houses. So they were like duplexes. A lot of my facilities are duplexes.
Okay.
So what I would do is, because we needed office space, I turned the garage into an office.
Mm-hmm.
We cut a hole in between the houses to open the houses up. So now it looks like this long hallway of bedrooms, this long hallway of kitchens. And so I did bring in a contractor to open it up. And it was like, oh my gosh, you were so smart for this. And I let the landlord know as well. So I don't own those properties that I open up, but they're willing, because we're operating as an organization to allow us to do that. So it's like two people to a room.
Okay. And are you guys a 501c3, a nonprofit, or?
So interesting enough, my companies are for-profit, operating as a nonprofit. But I also have a nonprofit portion, because we do a lot of nonprofit work. So we have a Holidays Helping Hands Foundation. So one of my most grateful things that we're grateful for in this season is that we have created a SAWS program, which is Shine Ambassador Worksource Program, where our clients that can work, we teach them, we train them, we bring them in and teach them life skills, money, budgeting, how to bank, how to open up a bank account. Take them to the bank to open up a bank account, how to be professional, how to complete an application, how to do a resume, how to do an interview. So it is a 12-week program that we've put together. You know, we put pen to paper. And so right now, out of that program, they're learning how to do retail, because we have a thrift store called Pix Exchange by HHH. So they get to go in there and learn retail services, customer service skills, all those things. And they also do landscaping and maintenance. So those are the two programs that we have open now. But what's coming is our catering service, because we do have a catering company at Holidays Helping Hands. So they'll get to, for the ones that love to cook, we'll pay for them to get the certificate so they'll be able to cook. And then we also have a school of nursing that I opened up, because I told you I was a nurse.
Yes, ma'am.
So my nursing school has got approved. So it's going to be HHH School of Nursing. So we're starting off with a certified nursing assistant program. So remember, I told you I work with a lot of single moms. So if we're able to get their foot in the door, and we have a nursing shortage, a lot of CNAs will go on to be LVNs, LPNs, or RNs. So that is definitely the goal with that program, is to turn some of them into higher positions as well. So we're excited about what this Shine Ambassador Worksource Program, which is SAWS, is doing.
I'm excited. And you kind of answered my next question, which is what's on the horizon for HHH? Aside from what you already mentioned, what else is on the horizon? Are you looking at taking your model out of California and have something nationally in place in other states? Because we need it here in New Jersey, girl.
See what I'm talking about? So that is interesting that you said that, because our team, one of our goals within the next 5 years is to take our model outside of the state of California. That is our dream. And that is one of our visions. That's one of the things that we plan on doing. And also, we're looking into affordable housing, because what we're finding here in LA is people don't want to rent. Even though California passed that law, they don't want to rent to the homeless population or to people with vouchers for some reason. And so, our clients are with us for a year, 2 years with a housing voucher, or they lose a housing voucher because they cannot find housing. One of our goals is to start offering everything to our clients that would include from medical clinic within the facility so that they could still get their health seen about and their mental health, to also offering the affordable housing piece, the final piece, their journey to home, because that's what we believe in, getting them their journey to home. Yeah. So we have a yellow brick road that we have, a map, a roadmap to guide them to their journey to home. And on that roadmap, it has, like, if they want to go to school, they want to get a job, if they want to reunite with their family, we do all of those things within Holidays Helping Hands.
Nice, nice. And I just thought of this question. What's the average stay for a client with you?
Average stay is about a year to a year and a half.
Okay. And that's longer than a lot of programs. A lot of these programs, you're just, it's not even interim housing. It's just temporary. You're there a few months and out without any services. So a year is awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. There's no time limit to our program. And okay. So that's what's different as well, right?
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, ma'am, I when you were talking about all the different things and the program to help them with job skills and life skills, I'm telling you, my heart was just swelling up. Like, this is so needed in so many other places, because homelessness is not confined, despite what a lot of townships try to do, is just kind of herd them into some shelter so you don't see them walking around. But it's everywhere. And this is what's needed. This is the kind of thing that can, it may not eliminate it, but it'll certainly help to reduce it and get people on their journey home. And I like that too a lot. So thank you.
Thank you.
So that is the end of our air quotes formal part of our chat. Now we get to do the fun stuff.
We get to
play 10 candid questions. 10 candid questions, just some random questions that I'm going to ask you. It's actually 9 candid questions because the 10th question is always the same for everybody. So you ready?
Yes.
All right. What is your biggest pet peeve?
When somebody eat the last of something.
Oh,
you know. You know, like you have your mouth, like peach soda is my favorite, right?
Mm.
And so my nephews or anybody come into my house because everybody got the door code,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just take it like it's theirs. I hate when somebody take the last of something.
Yeah, yeah. That's a peeve of mine too. All right, question number 2. Introvert or extrovert?
Growing up, I was an introvert, I think, but now I'm an extrovert.
Yeah, I get extrovert all day. Question 3. How would you like to be remembered?
That I live my life, as MLK said, serving others selflessly and providing resources, and that God can define himself by me.
I like that. Question 4. Dogs or cats?
It would definitely have to be a dog. Cats mm-hmm. are sneaky.
Yeah. I'm a dog girl too. Question number 5. What one piece of advice would you give to your 18-year-old self?
See, that hits different for me, and I don't know why. Because I became a teenage mom at the age of 18.
Okay.
And so I guess the piece of advice that I would give to my 18-year-old self, that all the stuff that I wrote in my yearbook, today it didn't even matter.
Right. Yep. All right. Question number 6. Morning person or night owl?
I will work all night. Night owl.
Oh, all right. Question 7. What's one question you wish that I had asked you during our chat, and what would your answer have been?
Let's see. That's a great question. Let's see, one question that you could have asked me. You know, when I went back and thought about it, I was like, when I was 18, being a teenage mom, because I didn't tell how being a single mom myself and how it impacted me to want to help other single moms, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess my question would, and I think you kind of asked that.
Yeah, you know what? This is... That question is really for me, because it helps me to know if I am asking the right questions during chats and getting to what the person that I'm talking to wants to get to. So that's kind of an unfair question for me. So when people say, no, I think you kind of asked everything, I'm like, cool.
Yeah, because with the questions that you ask were open and can lead to whatever the person is feeling at that mm-hmm. time or feel comfortable telling or sharing during right. that time. So right. I think you asked all the right questions.
Well, thank you. See? Mm-hmm. All right. Question 8, coffee or tea?
What's the tea, baby?
Oh, wait, yeah, you from Mississippi. Tea, indeed.
Sweet tea, baby.
Yes.
You better have a heavy hang.
I love it. Question 9. If you had the attention of the whole world for 5 minutes, what would you say?
Oh, I like that question. If I had the attention of the world for 5 seconds, I would let them know that in this life, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. And if we could bless others, then they would in turn bless someone else. One of the things that I had my first sermon this week, I can't believe it. And it was like, what are you bringing to the table? Mm-hmm. And always to remember that positivity, right? So, right. you know, I was like, what are you bringing to the table when you come? That's like a candidate, you know, it's right. a metaphoric question. What are you bringing to the table? Like, are you bringing your hatred, backbiting, right. lying? But no, we need to be bringing our love, our resources, mm-hmm. our money. And so I would tell them, bring your resources. Resources don't necessarily mean money. Absolutely. It could be your love. It could be some education. It mm-hmm. could be another person that leads that person to their goal in life. So for me, I would definitely talk about blessed to be a blessing to others and how we can impact the world by doing so.
Amen. I like that. And last question, how can my listeners connect with you and Holidays Helping Hands for help if they're in the LA County area or just to support the work you're doing?
So of course we have a website, and that website is www.holidayshh.org, and holidays is HOLLIDAYSHH.org. I always say it's double L's in holiday. Mm-hmm. And they definitely need to remember that every day is a holiday. Mm-hmm. And on that page, you can find our foundation if you would like to donate or give there as well. And we also have an Instagram and Facebook, and that's Holidays Helping Hands.
Thank you. Well, Katina, first of all, thank you for the work that you do. One of my favorite quotes is by Marion Edelman, and she says that service is the rent we pay for being. It is the very purpose of life and not something you do in your spare time. And you, ma'am, are the literal embodiment of that quote. And it really has been my absolute pleasure to have this chat with you today. Thank you for your time, for your service, just for being you.
Absolutely. It's definitely an honor. This is like my second podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm like, podcast, yes! So thank you.
You're so welcome. Now, guys, Katina and Holidays Helping Hands contact information, links to her website, will be in the show notes. And listen, don't y'all forget to visit my little old website at www.thecandidshopcandidwithak.com. Listen to an episode, drop me a review, sign up for the mailing list, like, follow, share, and tell your friends about the show so we can grow. But until next time, I want everybody listening to keep it safe, keep it healthy, and keep it candid.